country is a country that allows all kinds of cultural freedom, all kinds of human freedom, all kinds of spiritual freedom. This country is a country that allows you to become a people within a people. Yes, this is America. This is the true idea of America. An Irish come here, he doesn't have to stop being an Irish. He's being an Irish. That's how you're feeling as Irish. Chinaman's feeling as Chinaman. If he wants to, he can cut himself off, forget about his traditions and everything, and just become a typical American. He can do that if he wants. And he becomes a nobody in America. The instant he does that, he becomes a nobody in America. The true Americans are those Americans who hold to their distinct personality, distinct mind, distinct cultural and mental makeup. They are the true Americans. And they are the ones that are advancing America. Believe it or not, because they are the only ones that sit in their head. Once you give up vision, collective vision, and give up trying to move forward along definite lines of progress, and you just become a seasonal thing, baby, you're finished. You're finished. If you don't have a worked out plan for your life, for your total life, your eating habits, your dress, your involvement in the business world in the world, if you don't have yourself a vision for that and a direction, then you are a seasonal thing. Because you have been formed by influences in the society. And your form is mastered, or your form is ruled by the influences in society. When those influences change, you will change. They will decide your fate. When they move into a kind of degenerate situation or condition, you too are going to move into a degenerate condition. So those forces will eventually kill you, right? They're going to eventually kill your intelligence, kill your morality, destroy your human content. So the only way to live then is to live in the light of your own self. It goes back to the self. You have to live in the light of your own self. You have to know what you are as a creature. And you have to keep yourself conforming to that inherent identity. And you have to have standards. And those standards to reflect your knowledge of what you are as a human creature. And anytime influences or trends in society invite you to come out of that, you have to stand up and command yourself. Self-command. You have to command yourself. Say, no, I will not do that. Now they are going to make it seem so desirable. You know, I almost believe in spooks. Making a powerful moral decision in my house. Nobody heard it but me and God. I didn't even tell my wife. Get a phone call. Somebody's throwing opposition in my way. Yeah? I hear a phone call. First thing I hear, from opposition. Now, I just made a wonderful moral decision. I know that heaven was celebrating. Scientifically too. We don't
I don't know whether that's right. I'm a man, I don't hold things back. You can take it to Jesus again, you can. Life is separate, but life also is on one wavelength. And believe me, you can make a strong moral decision and it will register on the devil. And the devil, his resistance, his anger resistance, will register on a servant of his. And his servant will act upon somebody else, and finally it'll get to you. Yes, finally it'll get to you. It's like living in one big, immortal ocean. Whatever happens in it, the waves go out everywhere. The waves of the good person go out, and the waves of the bad go out. So if you fight the influences in yourself, don't you know what you're doing? You're fighting Satan himself. If you command that yourself obey Allah, you, in order to keep that obedience in yourself, you have to fight Satan himself, one on one. That's right. Yes, maybe you won't see him like that, but baby, you will wake up and maybe that little boy of yours that you love so much, he will put a block in your way. He will hinder your efforts. And you will wonder, say, is this sucker crazy? But he ain't Satan. He ain't Satan. He's your child and perhaps a good child. But now, the vibrations, the vibrations have went out. And now they're coming back. From those that didn't like it. It is as though it's in on one wavelength. It affects everything. Yes, this is real. Now, since I'm an imam, let me go to the Quran.
God to use it properly in a moral and just way. Is that right? Yes, so that tells us that the human being is capable of having some power. But the power, that power is also a gift from God, and God has obligated man to use it in a very moral and upright way. All right? The fact is, and this is what we're talking about, the point is that people have some power. Now, look, even the devil himself, doesn't he have some power? Yes, he has power to cast his suggestions, to throw suggestions into your heart, suggestions into your heart, and make you go on from the path that you wanted to walk. Or he can make you go against the thing that you stood for, the principle you stood for. He has the power to do those things. How does he reach you? Through your heart, through your sensitivity, through your temperament, your sensitivity, your sensitive makeup. The devil didn't speak to Eve in the garden. Pardon me, correction. The devil didn't speak to Adam in the garden. The devil spoke to Eve. The devil spoke to Adam through Eve, according to the Bible. Is that right? Why? Because Eve represents sensitivity. Sensitivity. The Bible says he is hawa, or hawa, which means active air. Active air. And he is called the mother of all living. Is that right? The mother of all living. That's the sensitivity. Air is active. Water is more at rest than air. Right? Yes. You know, it's very seldom we get the air to be completely at rest, but sometimes the air seems to be the perfect seal. But that's hard to find, isn't it? But we can often find water at rest. So the most active thing we have in this environment is air. Right? And it's symbolic of the constant sensitivity, constant things that are going on in your human makeup. But they're operating at sensitivity. Very seldom are you working out a problem rationally, or working on a rational matter. Most of the time, it's just a commotion or activity, staring. It's just a staring within the person. Is that right? Just a staring going on within the person. Now, since we are very sensitive like this, the suggestion to do wrong comes into that because it's like a blind body. Until conscience comes into it, it's like a blind body. So if we can get a suggestion into that, it influences it, the little light comes on. Maybe by the time the light comes on, we've got the perfect religion. Right? So faith is like that. He casts suggestions into you, reaches your sensitivity, gets you to respond sentimentally or emotionally or some kind of way to his suggestion. And when the light comes on in the intellect, the heart is already too weak to deal with it. Yes? Isn't that the way it works? Yes. All right. So Satan himself is a creature that has been inspired as having some power. The power to cast suggestions into the hearts of the people. But how bad is it? How powerful is Satan? Allah says in the Quran, he has no power at all except the power you give him. He has only the power to invite you to do wrong. You have the power to say no. And he can't get nowhere without your permission. Now he can sneak up on you, but you won't see anything to him. Now, you want to be weak, you say, okay. Okay, so you do your thing. You know, you want to be weak. But if you want to be strong, you'll say, look, you caught me with my eyes closed. I didn't see you when you first came here, but I see you now. It's out of me. It's from me, baby. Now, if you entertain him after discovering him in your house, and you discover that he just got in now, while you wasn't watching, or while the window was open, you didn't know it or something. Now he's in your house. And you turn the light on, you see it. And you say, yeah, hello, Satan. So would you like to have some coffee or tea or something? Now that's your fault. That's your fault. So don't think Satan, the concept of Satan in our religion, is that thing we saw in the 15th scene. You know?
You know it's really about Satan, Exodus. Yeah, Satan possessed that little girl. Turn her head all around, had her doing all kind of terrible things. You know, we don't believe in Satan having that kind of power. You know, unless you give that Satan that kind of power. We don't believe that Satan could come in and just take over the life of good people. No.
Confidence, and many of them got to be his servant, his cook,
Hey, butler. Hey, carriage driver. Hey, supervisor. All the other slaves. That's the Bible in St. Louis. Welfare has almost killed all the Bible in St. Louis. We don't know how to do nothing no more but dress like pampered pimps, pampered pimps. That's all we know how to do. Just go to the mirror and get pretty. And wait for the white man to give us another check. Another welfare check. I wait for the lift to bring in some money off the street. Or something else that low. Yes, we are losing the survival instinct. We just think through anything. And we used to invent something new. We find a service. We would discover a service. And do something for the society that nobody saw there. Give them a service. Yes, white man would come back with his big industrial machine, and pretty soon he would have the ability to do what we were doing so much easier and so much quicker, so much cheaper for the people we knew. But for the time that we did have it, we were enjoying it. And we got some money from it, right? How many of us are thinking now, what service do people need on this block? What service do people need in this community? What service do people need in this town? How many of us are burning our brains to try to survive in a lawful, dignified way? The invitation is to be a crucial. To be a criminal, or to be a lackey for the establishment, a message carrier, and a message bringer, and a reporter for the establishment. Oh, you know, many of us are just too down to accept those degrading jobs. So what are we doing? You know, we hunger so much for a dignified role that the man can actually give us a fancy title and send us to the corner to watch the bus as they come up. To just watch the buses as they come up. So as you know, how many buses came up today? 139 came up today, Ralph. Very good job, Bill. I'm going to see you get a promotion. You going to have your watch? You're going to have your car next week. Tell us how many times he starts it up. Where he went with it.
Established, it becomes a collective thing. So let us understand that.
and understand the fact of this United States of America. That this United States of America was founded from the bring people into a part of the world where they will be able to find their own idea of life. Yes. That's why you find Muslims here, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, all kind of people here. Even atheists. You can't even put an atheist out in this country. Why? Because the country was set up to accommodate God-fearing people only. The country was set up to accommodate anybody that wants to accept democracy and move into their own idea of life. That's why the homosexuals are becoming so popular now. You can't say that's un-American. You can say it's not Christian, but you can't say it's un-American. Because if you understand what American is just an opportunity to grow into what you want to be. You think they're going to get rid of the mafia in America? Never. As long as there's any mafia that want to operate, they will operate in America. Because America accommodates sanctions. Now, if you get caught in the wrong situation, at the wrong time, you're going to go to jail. I mean, you'd be jailed, right? But that's a chance to take. And let me tell you, the most dangerous life you can live in America is a righteous life. That's the most dangerous life you can live in America. So when the, you know, the original designers of this concept that we have, I'm sure that they were righteously moved. But when you read the language of these people, there's high moral concern ringing in their language. But I'm sure that these people, these industrialists, these materialist people came back behind them to get a picture of the material wealth. They weren't thinking about no righteous people. So when you come up to do your righteous thing in America, only a few Americans are going to applaud you. You're going to scare the hell out of a lot of Americans. But if you be brave, if you hold on to your righteousness, you have a right in America, and you will survive, and you will prosper in America. But you have to be as brave as a criminal. If the criminal will fight for his right to be a criminal in America, then shouldn't we, who love God, fight for the moral life that we want in America? Why should Allah say, criminal, if you want to be a criminal, I'm going to make it hard as hell for you, and then say to the righteous, if you want to be righteous, I'm going to make it easier for you. The criminal can look at God and say, look, God, but it ain't fair. And the criminal is right. The criminal will be right. They look, God, that ain't fair. God said, well, look, but I'm the God of righteousness, criminal. I can't give you the same chance I give the righteous. Then the criminal could ask, say to God, so what is all this business then, God? About you, given man, being here. And saying that his morality is a choice. To God, it ain't no choice. If you won't give him advantage, you don't lose. God puts you all in the same arena. But now, if you won't cry, if the righteous people don't want you, you don't have to fight for this criminal thing. If you want righteousness, if the bad people don't want you, you don't have to fight for your righteous thing. That's justice. That's justice. Yes, that's justice. In fact, it's better than justice. That's divine. Why do I say it's divine? The righteous cannot develop any more than they apply themselves. If they don't use their right, the muscle of their righteousness, they can't develop. righteousness is an easy life. Righteousness is going to be a weak life. We have to accept the realities of nature. But righteousness is not a weak life. Righteousness is a strong life. To be righteous, you're going to have to do battle. And again, I repeat, the hardest battle is with the forces in yourself. Once you conquer the forces in yourself and manage to discipline your life, controls and forces that take you from your own heart, out of your own self to do wrong. Once you do that, buddy, believe me, you can handle most of the people out here. Oh, yeah. You can handle most of them. And the ones that you can't handle, Allah will handle them for you. That's right. Because you've earned now his help. You've done the job that he charged you with. And speaking from the Bible, he charged the man to do what? Keep the God. Right? The God is yourself. Yes? If you keep yourself, if you keep the environment of yourself in order, don't worry about this. When your people challenge you from without, you'll find Allah will send angels in to help you. You'll have some company to fight. We're along with you. You have company in the battle. Oh, yes. Allah said in the Quran that he sent four of some angels with them. And they wondered how they were succeeding, how they were able to come so victorious in the battle. And Allah revealed to the prophet that Allah had increased that rank with angels. Is that right? Oh, yes. Now, we're either Muslims or we're not. And we are Muslims, we believe in the Quran, we believe what Allah said. And I know he sent angels with me. I can't be doing all this by myself. Too much. Here's about Muslims. Look what Allah says, Most High in the Quran. Allah says, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat min nar. Listen. We talked about the dignity of the person. The patient and role that God has assigned to you in this region. Now look what he says about the community of believers, the Muslims. He says, you are the dead community that has been poured out for the benefit of all humanity. Isn't it wonderful that Allah designed man to be a benefit to the whole creation? And then he established that man through a prophet or in a prophet. He raised up a prophet. And he established the man that he is designing all of us. Yes. Understand that Prophet Muhammad is not a cultural person. Prophet Muhammad is a human person. The cultural person, you find him in Africa and China, different places, right? Prophet Muhammad is not a local kind of figure like that. Prophet Muhammad is a human type, the ideal human type. Therefore, if you think about it very carefully, you'll see, search it out very diligently, you'll see Prophet Muhammad in his image, in his model, does not represent a personality. No, indeed. Prophet Muhammad represents a human type, not a personality. A personality is a human type influence and have become a personality. Okay? Prophet Muhammad is not that. Prophet Muhammad is called Bashar. Bashar. Bashar means the human person. So if Prophet Muhammad is the ideal human person that God wants, the complete human person, having the universal sensitivity, all right? Then what is he for us as a model? He is mind in itself. Don't try to take that. Let it take it off or take it in. Yes, Prophet Muhammad as a human type represents what God has created in me. Prophet Muhammad is the ideal tree. That's why God says, he has established him as a model for all. If he was a singer, or an artist, or had some other role that was giving him as a personality to being a personality rather than a human model, he wouldn't be fit as a messenger and an example to all people. My son, he was talking to me, and he said many things. And we got on Prophet Muhammad. There's the youngest one, Sadi. Sadi Dean, we call him Sadi. And I told him, I said, son, Prophet Muhammad is the best of you. Prophet Muhammad is the better part of yourself that's in you. Prophet Muhammad is the self that Allah wants you to go into, that He has already put in you. And every person born. Yes. And I told him, I said, son, I said, here is an act of divine providence that the most popular language now in the world is English, and that we all have hymns in our hands. Muhammad. That looks like a hymn to me.
Community raised up for humanity. It is a
raised up for the Muslim? Didn't they raise up for the believers and religious? For the God-fearers?
It says raised up for humanity. What does that tell you? That tells you, brother and sister, that the job that set out for Muslims is the job of serving the good of all humanity. Muslims have failed because they allow the ruling world
to make them react when they should be asked.
Yes, the ruling world came into power and the Muslim world began to react. And still keeping on its own course, on its own design. Acting out an old plan, an old way of life. Instead of doing that, they began to react to the influences and the advances of the Western civilization, the Western power. All right? Now, dear beloved people, let's go on. Let's community raised up for all humanity. تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. Insisting upon our own what is right and proper, and resisting or refusing what is wrong or harmful. Hateful kinds of things, wrong things. And now, right behind that, that's تؤمنون بالله and believing in Allah. And the Mu'min is more precious than any just a common Muslim. What did Prophet Muhammad say of the desert Arab who rushed up the faith that they were believers? He goes on to say that they have become Muslim. He says they have become Muslim because faith is not your interest. That Muslim is a general term that identifies all people who say they believe in Al-Islam. But Mu'min is a specific, is a more restricted term that says, I believe in what I profess. Many of us say, oh yes, Allah is God, Muhammad is his messenger, the Quran is our book. That's just breath. They just went out the list, over the list. Until it's backed up with deeds. Does your life testify to that? Does your life also say Allah is God? If Allah had asked me not to eat pork, and I eat pork just to keep from somebody asking me what my religion is, then I just blew some wind over the lips when I said Allah is God. Or if I take a drink so nobody will ask me any questions. Or so I can be accepted in the crowd. See, brothers and sisters, this religion, it welcomes all to become Muslim. And it doesn't throw you out because you're not right. You can be a Muslim and be drinking. You can be a, oh no, you can't, brother. The son is a Muslim. And I haven't heard it once called there. The Quran, it shows that it's Muslim and it's obedient to the nature Allah has given it. Will they do this forever? One day it's gonna die. Even the sun will die. Right? Oh yeah. And before it dies, don't you think it's gonna get a little weak? And it's gonna become faulty? It's gonna be erratic. It's not gonna be as regular and as consistent as it is now.
Yes. But we say it's Muslim, right?
Well, aren't you Muslim in your biological makeup? In your created form, you're Muslim. In your original created form, you're Muslim.
Your heart beats and Allah made it to be. Everything is functioning within your biological system as Allah designed it to function. Even the influences that you're getting from that function within you, affecting your mind, just happening in Muslim life, right? But you can shut out all that and do your devilish thing and become un-Muslim in your mind, in your spirituality, right? Okay, so any Muslim who says, anyone who says, I'm a Muslim, for Muhammad is the messenger of God, Allah is one, God is one, for Muhammad is the messenger, they're Muslim. We have no right to say he's not a Muslim. But we want to be among the best. We don't want to be among those who just make the first step and just say, I accept God and his messenger. We want to be among those who have the moral courage, the moral fortitude, the strength to act upon it, to live it. And God does not call the Muslim to serve humanity. Let me read it again for you. أنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تؤمنون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر